are listening to the New City Church podcast. These episodes are recorded live on Gadigal land. Sometimes the audio quality might not be perfect because what you're listening to is a conversation. We don't edit out the chatter. We think that's what makes it authentic. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you find this episode encouraging.
So for me, growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church. I'd say it was like a fairly middle-of-the-road family Baptist. But the idea of conforming was really central. The idea of having right belief and right practice, so this ascent to correct knowledge, was a huge part of what was considered to be faithful. And so for me, coming into a knowledge of my ADHD, into a knowledge that my brain functions differently, was a massive spin around, because suddenly I couldn't relate to the teachings I was taught growing up, that conformity is good. So that's where I'm going to lead off on this message, talk, sermon. So my diagnosis led me down a path that I wouldn't have expected. So probably around 10 years ago, I'd started deconstructing my faith. And I used that in the regard of I had started doubting. And I believe there's a faithfulness in doubt. There's a faithfulness in continuing to learn and attempting to find out, because my relationship with God and my relationship with my Christian faith meant so much. So I've gone through all of that. I thought I was in a firm place. And then when I had my diagnosis, I found that shifted again, and suddenly the answers I thought I had weren't satisfactory anymore. And I'm speaking about this because I think it's really important that we recognize the journey of faith, that there will be continual breaking down and lifting up of different ideas, different nuances, and God is playing a role in and through all of that. So for me, suddenly seeing myself as different brought into question one of the key theologies that underpin my faith, and that was that we are made in the image of God, where you'll hear it referred to as the Imago Dei. So for me, there's this idea that all of humanity was made in the image of God, and I just kind of accepted that. So when I was suddenly found to be different from what would be considered neurotypical, even though I think there's some questions around what that even means, the question then became, am I still in the image of God? Am I broken? Is my brain broken? Do I belong? And now obviously the clear answer to that from everything we know of faith in the Bible is yes. But it became this kind of deep existential question. And the journey I went through then was finding God in the midst of it. And I've seen kind of commentary online about, does God have ADHD? Who are the ADHD Bible characters? And to be entirely honest, I don't think that's a tiny bit helpful. I don't think it helps us advance understandings of God's work through neurodiversity. I don't think it helps us understand the role of neurodiverse people in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to touch on a few things now to kind of show you the path I've taken as far as belief and as far as identity. So the first one I want to talk about goes back to that question of sameness, of conformity that was taught. For me, that was what I understood to be healthy, to be safe, to be vibrant. And where I've come along the journey, both the deconstruction and then through learning of my diagnosis and walking through that, has been the importance of fellowship. The fellowship is something talked about in the New Testament, and it's used kind of loosely, but I want to really get to the foundation of the word. It's not being in a community where you all stay in sync and stay friends because you have the same beliefs. It's actually about coming together in solidarity, recognizing the unity we can have in our diversity, and recognizing the work of God through our experiences, through our life stages, and through our the way we construct and deconstruct information. So for me, as an ADHD person, the way I receive information is just inherently different to other people. The way I process tasks, the way I take a step forward, the way I take a step back. And in some ways, it's been a blessing. I'm very creative. But in other ways, it's a massive barrier. Like, there are times where, you know, I'm taking medication now and it has been enormously helpful. But for 34 years before that, there were times where I'd be paralyzed, sitting on the ground, knowing I needed to do something, but just unable to do it mentally. But out of that comes understandings of identity, understandings of human relationship. And I think one of the key things about fellowship is it's about recognizing the worth of each person, not in a large conceptual sense, but in getting underneath what is happening, not the how you're going, yeah, good, move on, but actually building that community, building that relationship really intentionally.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And I think for us, the model of that is actually the Trinity. We have a God who doesn't exist kind of alienated from the world and alienated from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The whole way the Godship operates is in relationship, is in continual learning and continual love for each other, this kind of cyclical process. And I think for me, that's what fellowship has to mean for the church. That's what it has to mean for followers of Christ who are following on from his example of building relationships in love and in healing. And I think that's what will come out of fellowship. For me, that's one aspect that has really framed this journey. And I think as part of that, it's about the inherently human faith. Again, Jesus not alienating himself, but being amongst us, coming and being the suffering God, the suffering King, the one who knows our struggles and is able to resonate and love us through that in that. And the Holy Spirit to guide us in that. And that's something I've really found as well. I think also growing up Baptist, the Holy Spirit was kind of pushed away, like, oh, we don't believe in that airy fairy kind of stuff. And coming to a place where the Holy Spirit is a very real, very tangible way that you experience the world, and I experience the world, seeing the love we have for one each other and just recognizing things that are beyond myself. I think that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit as Jesus speaks of it. The next one I want to talk about is this idea of abundance versus scarcity, which I think ties into fear. So for me, the ADHD journey is one where when I was diagnosed, I was suddenly in a place where I had to accept that there is a limit to what I can do within my own means. And I think with the privilege of being a man, I'm lucky enough to hold a fairly good position at work, within a professional role. I experience a lot of privilege. And so for me, suddenly being in a place where I had to go, oh, I can't do this naturally. I need medication to do this. Oh, I've actually damaged relationships or damaged processes, whether it's unintentional or whether it was just through indifference. Why I'm speaking now about scarcity versus abundance is I think we live in a world where everything is finite. There's finite time, finite emotional energy, finite resources. But I don't want that idea of scarcity to frame my understanding and my engagement with the world and with everyone. For me, it's about the fact that I worship a God of abundance and coming to recognize these stories of a God who is dwelling amongst us and who is continually giving of themselves. Jesus giving in sacrificial love, giving when there was nothing left to give. We have a God who gives us abundance. And so for me, what that practically has meant is understanding and acting on the fact that there is enough love, there is enough energy to go around, and recognizing that the world is more than kind of flesh and blood. There is actually an abundance of what we need, an abundance of hope in particular. We believe in a Jesus who has risen, who is restoring, who is renewing, who is resurrected. All those good words beginning with R.
R words.
God who is doing those things amongst us and within us. And so with this abundance, we can continually give up ourselves into love rather than believing that there's not enough and fighting amongst each other.
Yeah.
This ties into seeing the image of God in each person and walking toward that with intentionality. I think another key part of this is the question of frameworks. So when I started questioning my faith upon the diagnosis, a big part was recognizing that the box I put God in was not big enough to cover the breadth of human experience. I've gone through my own journey, going from a conservative church to a church similar to New City in Adelaide, but ultimately my understanding of who God is there for was still limited. The diagnosis and the journey of learning and reading the Bible even in a more, and finding more beautiful ways to accept that truth, is that the God out there is the God here and now, and the God within us is the God within each person. So it's not that God is not sufficient, it is God that, it's that God is sufficient in all things and through all things. God is amongst us and is renewing us in each moment and each opportunity. And with that understanding, we can actually go forth and change things. I want that living hope to be real. I want it to be not just an idea or, again, a knowledge, but actually a practice that we walk in, that I walk in, and that I model, and I'm hoping that each of us can continue to model as we recognize the body of Christ incorporates those who are differently able, who have different experiences, and who have different ways of seeing it. And I think this is another reason why I talk about the church and solidarity, because there will always be those who have different perspectives than us, who have different ways of worshipping, who have different liturgy, different history. But it all comes together to form this body that is told, to action this love, this going forth. So that ties into Luke, because one of the things that Luke speaks to and that we've covered in recent weeks is that Luke keeps stubbornly, insistently, and counterculturally declaring that God is the God of all people, that the marginalized, that the demonized, that those who've been excluded will fit and have a role and will be lifted up and loved and acknowledged for their worth. For me, this isn't just a conceptual idea, but it actually frames how every day and every decision is made. If God is truly the God of the marginalized, then every system that we know can be transformed by love, by kindness, by gentleness, by the fruits of the Spirit. And walking in that isn't just one step or two steps. It's relating and relating intentionally to each person and loving with warmth. I think one key thing of that is the empire of the world versus the kingdom of God. So we believe in this beautiful unfolding symphony of restoration and renewal. So we talk about the body of God, sorry, the body of Christ, but sometimes I think that imagery can get a bit old, a bit stale. I'd like to think of it as each of us playing an instrument in a symphony, in an orchestra. First you hear the drums come in and then the trumpets, and slowly it rises and rises and rises. And I believe that is the kingdom of God coming to fruition, this perpetual creation, this perpetual beauty being revealed, this perpetual love being enacted in ways that transform. We talk about God being both near us and also above and sovereign. And I think that's really key. We have God who is amongst us, and that should lead us into a vision of love. So with the kingdom of God at hand within us and evolving, I want us to look forward with an understanding of what it means to have living hope. For me, the journey of being diagnosed, of having to tell people, of struggling with my identity and going, who am I? How do I fit? Where do I go? Do I declare my ADHD as a gift, or do I recognize that it's a mix of beauty and challenge? And I think that is the nature of the Christian faith. We are challenged, we are limited, but we are also empowered. We are led forward into love, into change, into perpetual actions of kindness and restoration. And I think through this journey, with those four things at the center of my mind, I am more now than ever sure of that verse in Romans 8. It says, for I am convinced, and I won't go through every single thing, but neurodiversity, for I am convinced that damaging practices and processes and systems, for I am convinced that mistakes and lack of love and lack of hope, that nothing can separate us from Jesus, from the God, the Trinity, that is perpetually creating new opportunities for love, for growth, and for enacting kindness and gentleness, for enacting beauty, a God who brings life from dust, beauty from ashes, a God who brings meaning to emptiness. And for me, having gone through this process where I've had to suddenly consider, am I part of God's image? Yes. Do I have a place? Do you have a place? Does our mess have a place? Yes. In the evolving kingdom of God, everything and every person, through neurodiversity, through pain, through trauma, through strength, through weakness, through energy, through lack of energy, through all things and despite all things, God is moving. So I hope today that this has strengthened your faith somewhat. This has given you a vision of the way in which the love of God pushes us forward, but also upholds us in strength. And I pray that you may go into this week equipped with the knowledge of the power, the influence, and the authority you hold to change systems that harm, to break the binds and the chains, and to love as God loves, eternally, unequivocally, and with endless hope. Not a hope that's uninformed, but a hope that is informed by the reality of the beauty that undergirds everything. Can I pray for you before we finish up? Creator God, lift these words to you. I thank you for the journey of growth that I've been through, and I thank you for the way you're unveiling more of yourself to me, to this community, to each person. I pray that we may have a resolve, an assurance, and a hope of the authority which rests with us, of the strength that lies within us, and of the way we are upheld, loved by you, and by this community. I pray that we may go forth and love in fellowship, that we may strengthen each other, pray for each other, care for each other, and love each other in ways beyond the status quo, in ways that reminisce your own love ministry for all people, that healing love that bold declaration of Luke, that all belong, that all are worthy and have dignity, and that love wins, love reigns supreme, and you're perpetually creating more love for us to lean on. Amen.